Wow. Can you guys feel that? Just that presence from the first chord. Communion, it's a choice. The prayer that Pastor Mark just gave of how people are struggling and need the presence of God. I think God is doing something here today. Hearing all of that, honestly, was feeling I didn't even have to preach a message because everything had already been said. We'll jump straight into it this morning. We'll be reading from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And the theme this year is reading your Bible. So if you've got your Bible, I'll give you 30 seconds to find it. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verses 1 through 14. If you can't find it, I promise you it is there. Pastor Mark tells a story of how I was adamant I wanted to preach on Obed-Edom. 24 hours ago, I was literally wanting to text him to say, I don't want to do it anymore. Why did I choose Obed-Edom? 2 Samuel. Then David again gathered all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Bala of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadad's house, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadad's sons, were guiding the cart that carried the Ark of God. Ahio walked in front of the Ark. Next slide, please. David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. And when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand and steadied the ark of God. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzzah. He named the place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah, as it is still called today. David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care?" So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The Ark of the Lord remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Then King David was told, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God." So David went there and brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. Let's pray. Awesome God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to step into this place of grace and to expect a miracle to break out in our midst. Now, Father, I pray that you would use me as the bringer of your word. And I pray that you would write the words of God upon the hearts of men, and that lives will be forever changed. Not by me, but by the words that come from your throne. In advance, Father, I thank you for what you're about to do in this place. I thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The reason I chose Obed-Edom is because 2 Samuel chapter 6 is one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible. It tells the story of one of my most favorite characters. We all have favorite characters, and of course, our favorite character happens to be Jesus. But after Jesus, I love Paul. You see, I think Paul is one of the greatest preachers in the New Testament. He wasn't as great a preacher as Peter, in my opinion. But Paul was a person that preached deep. Paul preached rich sermons. He was a theologian. He was an apostle. He was a prophet, and he was a teacher. But if there was something about Paul, as much as I loved him, it's that Paul would preach a really, really long time. I mean, there's this story of Paul preaching, and there's this boy in the balcony, and Paul preaches so long that this young boy goes into REM sleep and falls off the balcony and dies. But Paul... I mean, most preachers, I tell you, if that was me, I would stop the sermon right there. Paul doesn't miss a beat. He's so infused with the power of God that he walks up to this boy that's just fallen down dead. And the glory of God is so much upon him that he just lays his body on this boy. And that is on Paul. By osmosis falls onto this boy, and this boy opens his eyes, and Paul just keeps on preaching. I love me some Paul. But after Paul, I love me some Jonah. Because Jonah had more negative faith than most Christians have positive faith. You see, the reason why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh is because he knew he had so much power that if he opened his mouth, a whole city would be changed for God. Jonah had more negative faith than most people have positive faith. He knew you just need to open your mouth. And the resurrection power of God would be enough to change destinies. I love him because every time I hear that story, something stirs within me, and I believe God is raising up a generation of believers that know that every time they open their mouth, the power of life is in their tongue, and they can speak to the dead bones, and they will rise. Right behind Paul. Right behind Jonah, I love David. In fact, I'm enamored with David. David's one of my favorite characters for reasons that you probably wouldn't guess. He's one of my favorite characters because he's schizophrenic. One day he's up, and the next day he's down. But the thing about David is even when he's down, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." I love him because he's a warrior and he's a worshiper. I love him because he's the original gladiator. He's warrior enough to chase down giants, but worshiper enough to seek after the presence of God. It's why he's called a man after God's own heart. And in this text today, David has just become king. He's just become the king of all Israel. He's ruled in Hebron for 6.5 years. But coming into his 7th year, he's coming into a new anointing. He's ruling not over just Judah, but all of Israel. He's ruling not just in the little corner where people are comfortable with him, but he's taking hold of God's promise and ruling over Israel. 2 Samuel chapter number 5, he comes into the rulership of the kingdom. They crown him and recognize him and realize that he is the set leader that God has set in that place. And immediately following that recognition of the people, David says, I must have the presence of God. What I love about David is he says, I've got my parents. I've got my palace. I've got my cars. I've got my chariot. I have everything that most people could ever want. But it is nothing if I don't have the presence of God with me. He says the Ark of the Covenant is all the way over there. The presence of God is all the way over there, but it's not doing me any good. It needs to be right here with me. I need the presence of God. You see, there's a difference between saying that God is everywhere and saying that God is right here with you. The former is the default for most Christians. But if we only ever see God over there, then we miss out on the restoration. We miss out on the healing, on the love, on the confidence, on the identity, and on the joy that God brings when he's here with us. In a world that's happy to keep God and the church and religion at a distance, I believe that we, as the people of God, we as the worshipers of God, should be the most enthusiastic people. You see, the word enthusiasm takes from its core root theos. We should be the most enthusiastic people on this world. We should be the most enthusiastic people to walk this planet, because every time we shout the name of the Lord, every time we worship God, we are plugging into the power socket of heaven. We are stopping the heavenly host and flowing power into this reality. God is looking for someone to call on his name and say, I need the presence in my house. I need the presence in my job. He's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for someone that's raw and real, that says, if I don't have the presence of God with me, I'm gonna go off at somebody. He's looking for someone that says, I need the presence of God in everything I do. I need the presence of God in my house. I need the presence of God in my teenager. I need the presence of God in my family. I need the presence of God in my relationship. I need the presence of God in my health. What I love about David is that not only is he worshiper, not only is he enough of a worshiper to want it, but he's enough of a warrior to go and get it, to go after it. I may upset some people today, but I hope you don't get mad at me, but I'm so tired of people that want something from God but never go out and get it. I wonder if God is tired of people that pray prayers but don't believe or don't have the faith that God will actually do something about it. Why ask God for something if you're never gonna knock on the door and you're never gonna walk through it once that door's open? The Bible says, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek and you will find. It's time to not just dream about it, but to believe that God will do what he says he will do. And so we need to walk in faith. We need to step out of the darkness and find solid ground. What I love about David is he doesn't just say, I want something from God. He doesn't just pray, God, do something in the city, do something in my life. But he's warrior enough. He's a fighter. He hungers so much after it that 30,000 other people catch that hunger. Have you ever been that hungry? I'm a foodie, so I love my food. But have you ever been to a restaurant where you don't even have to look at the menu? You walk in and you see some people sitting around the various tables, and there's some people that are just chatting away and moving the food around. Those aren't the people that I want to look at. The people that I want to look at are those people who aren't saying anything. They're silent and they're just tucking in, and every once in a while you're hearing some grunts. This is good. Those are the people who, if I'm in a restaurant, I start to slow down. You don't want to slow down too much because someone's going to hit you. But you slow down enough and you ask them, what is that you're eating? And if the eyes roll in the back of their heads and they say, oh, this right there. Woo! I ask the waiter to bring me what they're having. Those are the people that create a hunger. Those are the people that make you hungry for what they're having. Are you so hungry for the presence of God? Are you so hungry for the power of God? Are you so hungry that you make somebody else want the presence of God too? Your prayers should make people hungry. Your worship should make people hungry. People should see you and say, whatever they've got, whatever they're having, I want some of it too. People should ask you what it is that you're doing. People should ask you, why is it that you're so happy? They should ask you, why is it that you go through all this trouble and you keep your head held high? David says, I'm going after the presence of God, and 30,000 men say, we're going after it too. And so 30,001 men go to get the Ark of the Covenant. And as you know, the Ark is a picture of God in the Old Testament. And Deuteronomy chapter 4 talks about how the Israelites had to deal with the presence of God. In the past, the presence of God manifested itself to Moses as a burning bush. And in the wilderness, the presence of God manifested itself as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But now the presence of God is manifest as an ark, and the scripture is clear of how to deal with the presence of God. But David and the men failed to study the scripture. This is why Pastor Mark is so adamant that we need to get into the word. This is why Pastor Mark is so adamant that we need to grow up. We need to become mature, and we need to seek out God for ourselves, because if we don't, we will mishandle the presence of God. They've not got into the word for themselves. They can't interpret the word of God properly, and something goes wrong. Scripture tells us that Ahio's leading and Uzzah is following behind. And Uzzah, whose name means human force or strength, which is important, touches the anointing of God. Uzzah tries to manipulate the presence of God. Human strength tries to have its way, to make its own plans. Man reverses roles and thinks he knows better than God and is better than God, and God wins. The anointing kills Uzzah. God killed him because he broke the order. God doesn't need man to save him. It's actually the other way around. Man needs the hand of God to sustain us. It's the reason why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. As Karen mentioned, it's because of that love, that burning passion for us, undeserved. Uzzah grabs the ark. And as he grabs the ark, he dies right there in the middle of the parade. And David throws his hands up. The parade stops. David gives up. He loses his purpose. And when you lose your purpose, you lose everything. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Dancing, twirling, singing, and all of a sudden, everything stops. I told you before that I love David. But in this passage, there's someone else that grabs my attention even more. All of a sudden, Obed-Edom steps into the scene. And while his story is captured in only a few verses, I can guarantee you he is the star of this passage. I love Obed-Edom. Because while everyone else is lost and confused and has no vision or direction, Obed-Edom says, I'll take the presence of God with me. If you're wondering why I chose to speak on Obed-Edom, it's because of this. I believe God is wanting to speak to us, wanting to encourage us to look past our circumstances that we see right now. I believe that God is wanting us to look past the devastation that COVID is causing, and we know it's causing so much. God is wanting us to look past what's happening in Afghanistan. That is terrible, and we need to pray. God is wanting us to look past our histories. God's wanting us to look past our bank account or our health. Because these things come and go. But the presence of God, Pastor Mark put it beautifully, we need to see people saved. The presence of God is the answer to all these issues. Obed-Edom says, if you don't want it, I'll take it home with me. If you can't use it, I'll take it home with me. Because he wants everything that God has for him. He wants every blessing. He wants every breakthrough. And he wants every miracle. Obed-Edom steps over tragedy. He steps over the dead body of Uzzah. He picks up the ark. He takes it to his house. And for 3 months, the Bible says he is blessed. Everything is blessed. His children are blessed. His relationships are blessed. If he had a dog, his dog would be blessed. Up until this point, Obed-Edom is eating hand to mouth. But Josephus, the great historian of the time, tells us that once Obed-Edom got the presence of God into his house, his crops were growing bigger and faster than everybody else's, which meant he could take his crops to the market and get the best price. It meant that when everybody else was in winter, he was still harvesting. Even when others aren't getting the blessing, if you've got the presence of God with you, you'll get yours. Do you hunger for the presence of God? Go after the presence of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you find God's blessing all around you. You'll be blessed in your coming, you'll be blessed in your going, and you'll be blessed in every sector of your life, domestically, relationally, emotionally, physically. Do you need the blessing of God? Every now and again, God will give you material property, success, loving families, great friends, and good health. But his presence is what you need every day to sustain it. His presence is salvation. His presence is forgiveness. His presence is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which gives us insight and power to do God's will. His presence is an internal life with Jesus. Seek God and he'll give you peace. Seek the presence of God and he'll give you joy. Bring the presence of God into your life and into your home and he will give you wisdom. It's time to bring the presence of God back into our lives. I'm almost done. Can I invite the band up? The king says, I give up. The presence of God just killed a man. And 3 months later, a king is made jealous. And he says, I'm going to get what's mine. I'm going back to get the presence of God. And he says, I'm going to do it different from what I did last time. Last time we carried it on a cart, but this time we're going to carry it on the backs of worshipers. This time we're going to carry it on the backs of the people of God. This time we're going to carry it on those that are warriors and worshipers, those that will seek God, that will go after God because they're hungry. Are you hungry? How many of us this morning are going to be honest and say we need the presence of God back in our home? How many of us are going to say we need the answers to life? And we need wisdom, and we need grace, and we need understanding. Those of you that say that, the presence will be your key. It'll be your strength. It'll be your wisdom. Let's sing.